Yo, yo. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us again. Got my man EE, you with me?
How you doing, my man?
Doing good, doing good. Work back with you just to break down this card again. This card has been real interesting. So we're not, and by interesting, we mean like it's pretty shitty. There's been a lot of shitty things going on.
Yeah.
So we're not gonna have a long breakdown. We're gonna get through this one pretty quick. There's some fights that we don't need to touch on too much, and there's some fights that's just, I mean, they just stand out, so there's not much of a breakdown on it. And I mean, without further ado, is there anything that you want to jump into real quick?
No, I just it's this slate, like you said, this slate is definitely a mess, and especially with the loss of the Minner versus Griffin fight, like it's kind of really struggling for punts that you're really in love with now. So I still think there's like three or four of the higher priced 7K fighters, but I don't think I'm going to be paying down at all below like 7.5K. I'm only making 10 lineups. I might throw Aguilera in one possibly, but that's a lowest I would go with 7,200 if I'm only making 10
Yeah,
lineups.
for sure.
Like,
No, for sure. And that's a perfect
yeah.
segue because that's kind of the first fight that we have here. We have Christian Aguilera going up against Anthony Ivey. And yeah, this is an interesting fight because this is going to be the first fight really in the UFC for both of these guys. But you know, there is clearly kind of the tape on who's gonna on I guess who's has better more paths to victory, I should say, because this is really a toss-up for me. For FanDuel or for DraftKings wise, it looks like pricing, we got Anthony Ivey at 9,000, we got Aguilera at 7,200, and for betting odds purposes, it looks like we have 192 here on Anthony Ivey, and Aguilera, at least at that point, was showing the plus 160. Yeah, I think this is a fight that if you're MMAing, and I'm not MMAing this late, I haven't been multi-mass entering for a little bit, but because I don't consider 40 or 50 that. But if you are playing, I'd say about 40 or 50 or so. I think this is an interesting one to target. Not to go heavy on, but I do think that if these guys do go out there and one of them gets a finish, like Aguilera at 7,200 is definitely interesting. So worth a share or two for sure. Anthony Ivey, I mean, he's got the submissions. He's just got the finishing ability, period. The reach is about the same on both of these guys. I mean, there's just not much really kind of standing in between them. So if you wanted to take a shot in the dark on both of them, I wouldn't blame you. But that's kind of where I'm at. What about you, my man?
Yeah, I don't think Christian Aguilera is good at all. Like, he has some good, decent knockouts on a record, but his opponents he knocked out aren't good. And like, he's a brawler that can't take a punch. So you see, like, he's been knocked out multiple times, and when he gets knocked out, you can see him. He's just kind of stalking his opponent, and then he has horrible head movement.
Boom.
His keeps his hands low, and he just gets cracked. And just he's not very good. Striking, in fact, he's probably pretty poor, but he's just an unrelenting wrestler, and he's constantly going after takedown after takedown after takedown, looking for passes. It's just his top control isn't very good, but I mean, like we'll get it as we'll talk about Merab later on. Like that's the exact kind of style that puts up massive scores on DraftKings. Is guys that are just getting rinse and repeat takedowns nonstop and getting those advancements on the ground. So I do like Anthony Ivey. I'm probably going to have about 30 to 35% exposure. I do have him in the GPP core, but I also have a note right next to his name saying that you can switch to Agapova as well. And especially on a site like this where we're kind of really dying to save some money, I suggest being heavier on Agapova than you are on Ivey. But I still really like Ivey, and I think he makes a very big upside play, especially in a decision. I could see him scoring over 100 points. He's constantly going after those takedowns. And on with Aguilera, like I said, maybe I left him off the sheet, but maybe I'll throw him in 1 of 10, but I don't even know if I'll do that.
No, I'm
And then on FanDuel, I love Ivy at $16. I feel like we're getting big savings there. And then I have no interest in Aguilera at just a dollar cheaper.
I'm with you. That's it. So, just real quick, is FanDuel's pricing a little better this week?
I actually like FanDuel better than DraftKings this week. Obviously, the interesting thing is Andre Feely is the most expensive on FanDuel at 21, and he's only 86 on DraftKings. So on FanDuel, we're getting discounts on Merab. We're getting a huge discount on Avila. We're getting a huge discount on Ivy. I mean, a punt that we'll talk about later, and Adeshaev is only $12. He's the second cheapest. So I think I like my FanDuel lineup more than I like my DraftKings lineup, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, it does. And that actually tells a lot, because FanDuel's been on some shit recently. Yeah.
And you and I talked about this last night quickly, is that both of us wouldn't be shocked if the GPP winning lineup on DraftKings ended up having one loss on it.
Yeah, for sure. Especially and that was that it's just crazy how things have kind of unfolded. Especially, we'll talk about it later, but the main event is really interesting too.
Yeah.
I think that kind of plays into it as well, because we'll get into it, but it's not your typical main event. Let's just put it that way. But yeah, man. So for sure, yeah, I'm with you. I think I'll probably have about 20. I think I'm only going to play about 10 or 15 lineups this week. I'm going real light this week, so I'll probably have about three.
I'm gonna have Ivy in three or four as well.
Yeah, for sure. All right, man. So next up, you kind of talked about it a little bit. We got Tyson Nam going up against Saruka Adeshev. This is a flyweight bout, so they're going to be 125ers. You got Nam coming in at -128. And you got Zaruk coming in at the +103. This fight pretty much is the same. It's pretty close as well. He's 7,700, though. And on the flip side, you got Nam at 8K. This one for me, though, I mean, I am going to try, at least in my lineups, if you're going to play more than 40 or 50, even if you're going to play more than 10, I mean, you know, it's to each his own. You can definitely go ahead and throw. I mean, especially when we're looking for dogs. I mean, Zaruk, you know, this is going to be his first fight in the UFC, and he is going up against Tyson Nam. I mean, but Nam's, like, dude hasn't even won in the UFC. And honestly, if you're just using the eye test, like, he just does not look good. He doesn't and look it, like he should.
Yeah, his style is horrific for DraftKings.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I just see him it being slow. And so on the flip side, I mean, I think the Lion's really going to be the only play here for me personally. I like his price. I think if anything, he's going to maybe have to show something in his first fight here. You know, but honestly, I think I'm going to try to get away with not having too much of this one. But I say that, and then with pricing, you know, you're almost forced to have some shares of Adeshaev here.
And I actually decent play. Especially because he's only coming in on a couple of days' notice. A lot of people haven't had time to do any film study, and so they'll just automatically hop on Nam thinking he has an easy opponent. But Adeshaev is a good striker. He's a former Glory kickboxer who had a good record there. He has a 2-0 record in Bellator. And he actually has, surprisingly, for as short amount of time as he's been in MMA, he has pretty solid takedown defense. And so I don't think he has to worry about here. And that I think he's just going to be able to outpace Tyson Nam.
I was just going to ask.
Yeah, he's 100% throws with more output than Tyson Nam. I mean, almost everybody does. I mean, Tyson Nam lands 2.8 strikes per minute and eats 5.8 strikes per minute. I mean, that's just god awful. And you can see in Tyson Nam's scores, I mean, he's only landing like 50, 60 significant strikes in his fights. I think his power is a little bit overrated. Yeah. I think he's on the downside of his career. He's had some solid wins in the regional scene, but especially in a slate where we're going to need a roster, 2 or 3 7K in our fighters in our lineups. I really do like Adeshev here. And even though he's still pretty green in MMA, at least we know he's going to go out there and fight his ass off, which is something we can't say for Tyson Nam. And so I like him a lot on DraftKings at 77 and then on FanDuel at $12. I mean, he's the second cheapest. I'm basically just plugging him in my lineup. That way you're able to roster fighters like Feely or whoever.
Yeah. I mean, it does get tough. You're gonna play Mark De La Rosa there.
I actually think he's interesting.
It does. See, I just
because yeah, it's I more just, it's I more of a fate don't. Of his opponent than it is anything else.
Yeah, I feel that. I feel that. I feel that. All right. And we'll get into that here in a second. So next up, this is one. I mean, this one's pretty simple here. We got Gina Mazzani going up against Julia Avila. Avila currently, I think it's gone down a little bit. I think she's
let me look.
Like the -300 favorite.
I thought she was way bigger. Yeah.
Oh no, it's still pretty high. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's still pretty high. I don't know what I was looking at. So it looks like here at least FC had it at the current time at -595, and then Gina was coming back at the +424. I want to say Julia is our most expensive fighter on the night at 9,300, and then we got Gina coming back at 6,900. This one's pretty simple. Julia is going to be the play here. There's no reason for you to really play Gina Mazzani. I mean, there's just no point. But also, it's at 9,300, Julia's. It's just, I like her. She's the pick. She's the obvious pick here. And I just think this card, you might have to get weird, man. You might have to get
fun. Well, it's just hard when you have Marab for 100 cheaper.
Yeah, and, it just doesn't – these fights, though, man, specifically these two fights, though, they're just so hard to gauge sometimes, to be honest, because you can say it, and then they go out there, and these chicks will throw 100 significant strikes or something nuts. Or Fight Metric will give them 120 significant strikes. Like, something crazy will happen.
With Avila, I have her marked on the sheet as a cash play. But I also have a note saying I don't hate it as a GPP play. It's just I prefer it with cash because we have Marab for 100 cheaper. And she's way, way, way
there's no point.
She's so much better than her opponent. So, I mean, the best part about Mazzani's game is probably pushing her opponent up on the fence and just stalling the fight. And she's not going to be able to get away with that BS here. Bows on the clinch breaks. She's a Brazilian jiu-jitsu brown belt. She's has incredible fight IQ. She's actually probably the smartest human in MMA. She's a geologist in her day job, and this is really just her fight to win here. It's just the best nickname in MMA. it's just on DraftKings. I'm gonna have to be slightly underweight in GPP just because, like we said, I like Marab is the best play to Maslay, and he's cheaper. But she does make a very good play in general. And on FanDuel, I love her salary at 19, because we still have three fighters who are more expensive than her, and she's the most expensive on DraftKings. So she's definitely a preferred play on FanDuel, and on DraftKings, she's a solid play, but I like to play Marab more.
Yeah, for sure. I'll say this though. I think she might be sneaky for the reasons that we're talking
about. Yeah.
You know, because it's like Marab's the obvious, you know what I mean? Like, he's the obvious play. And I'm going to
go ahead.
Yeah, she might be. No. Yeah, I think she might be sneaky, though. Yeah, I'm gonna be heavy on Marab, though. I'll tell you right now. It's no secret. But, yeah.
If we're making a non-Marab lineup, I would probably throw her in that lineup.
Yeah. I mean, if she's that much – I mean, if she just puts it on her, she's like – she's got to go over 90, think, right? Unless for some reason she just she just doesn't push the pace, and I mean just can't doesn't kind of force her will on her. I'm kind of liking that a little bit more, but yeah, I'll be heavy on Marab though for sure. I mean,
sorry about that.
Yeah, but yeah, so yeah, I'll be heavier on Marab, but no, definitely she just liking it more as a sneaky play. But we'll keep moving and grooving here. And next up, we have Hannah Cyphers going up against Maria Agapova. Agapova is currently the -300 favorite. You got Hannah Cyphers coming back at +250 currently. And she's 7,500 on DraftKings. Agapova is 8,700 on DraftKings. Man, Hannah Cyphers, bro. This fight is going to be interesting. Hannah Cyphers was in over her head when she fought Mackenzie Dern. Like, let's just keep it real. You know, I think they kind of threw her out there a little too early. But I like Hannah. She's like super, just her personality. It's kind of funny when you watch her fight, because she does have like that old school, like kind of that, like that old cowboy, cowgirl type mentality. But she's like super soft spoken. You know what I mean? But you can see she's just tough as shit.
Agreed.
But yeah, I don't like this fight for her, man.
No.
I mean, if you're going to play it, like if you're playing 150 lineups, go ahead and have like 7% of ciphers or like, you know what I mean?
But, 110% for sure.
Yeah, but I personally, I'm not going to have any of her. And I think we get a good little discount on Agapova here, but I'm not sure that she's going to be able to pay out that price tag. I'm not 100% sure about that.
Right.
What do you got on this one, man?
Yeah, I agree. It's just, I mean, Hannah Cypress usually fights at 115 for that weight class. So she should really be at 105. And now she's taking this fight on short notice, moving up to 125 and fighting a huge fighter in that weight class. So Hannah Cypress is going to be giving up 6 inches of height, just about 8 inches of reach. And I think Agapova hits harder. She puts on a more furious pace. I like Hannah. Like you said, she's very tough and she's going to throw down. But it's just, this is a brutal, brutal matchup in a weight class that she shouldn't even consider fighting in. And it just, I just think she's going to get bullied for 15 minutes or until Agapova possibly gets a finish on the mat, because her jiu-jitsu has been really improving. And I do like Agapova a lot. Her only loss is to a decision to Tracy Cortez, which isn't a horrible look at all. And she's still very young and she's getting better each fight. So I think she's going to put her name on the map here. And I do have her as an option for the GPP core in the sheet. It's just, I don't know to be able to put up like 9,500 plus, but it's also that also goes to the same for So I do like her a lot, and I'm still going to have 35% minimum. It's just, and then Kendall, I like her a lot. Price is at $17, and so she's right in the mid range, which is beautiful. And then I don't have any interest in, like I said, I'm only making 10 lineups, and so I don't have any interest in ciphers at all.
So just as you've been talking about the FanDuel pricing, we've been going back and forth. It's better this.
Yeah, week. I like it.
It is.
Yeah,
better, I like it a lot for sure. Because I like that pricing on her over there. Cool. All right, man. Yeah. So we'll move on. Next up, we have Charles Rosa, Boston Strong, going up against Kevin Aguilar. This is you got Kevin Aguilar -189, you got Charles Rosa +156, and I'm giving you the FC odds. So for all you snobs out there who are like, I'm giving you the odds that are what I'm looking at. I'm not going back and forth, so sorry. So then we have Aguilar, he's 8,400. Charles Rosa's coming back at 7,800. And this one is interesting, man. You know, you got Kevin Aguilar, who, I mean, for one, he's going to have the reach advantage. It's not going to be much. It's going to be like 4 or 5 inches, I think. But that's a lot, you know what I mean?
You're right. I was looking at the height. Never mind.
Yeah, the height's about the same if I'm looking at.
Yeah, I think it's showing Rosa has a 2-inch height advantage, but Aguilar has a 4-inch reach advantage.
Yeah, so that's interesting. Aguilar, you know, he's the favorite here. I'll tell you this though. I think Rosa is interesting. If you're going to be playing more than like 50 lineups, more than 40 or 50 lineups, I think he's interesting. I do think Kevin Aguilar should get this, should squeak this out, but Charles Rosa's tough, man. I think he's got path to victories to put up a really, really big score here. But Aguilar is scary, dangerous, man. So I think it's a good position to probably have a decent amount, or, you know, at least a share or two of both of these guys. What do you think on this one? Yeah, but I do like Rosa. I do like Rosa here, though. He's very interesting for GPPs. What do you got on this one, my man?
Yeah, I agreed. I think Kevin Aguilar probably squeaks out a decision, just because he has more power on the feet and he throws with slightly more output. It's just, at that salary, I don't really have a ton of interest. I would rather go up to guys like Feely or Agapova, or go down to like Calvillo and all those 7K fighters. If you're making, like you said, if you're making 25, 50 lineups, you want to have a couple of shares of Kevin Aguilar, go ahead. And with Rosa, I think this is a fight where he definitely has a path to victory. It's just, it's hard to know what we're going to get with him. From fight to fight, he either looks very good or he doesn't look good at all. So I'm going to prioritize other guys in the high 7K range over him. But I do think he makes interesting 7K play on DraftKings. Because of his style, I don't have a ton of interest on FanDuel. And in this fight in general, I don't have a ton of interest with, to be honest.
Yeah, Yeah, no, I'm with you here. I'm with you here. I'm hoping that this is one that, for the most part, we can squeak with going dog,
Yeah,
and
the
just
pass.
kind of getting away with it. Yep. All right, man. So next up, we have Jordan Espinosa going up against Charles Jourdain. Charles Jourdain is 7,600, and Jordan Espinosa is coming back at 8,500. Yeah, this one's interesting, man. I actually really like Charles Jourdain here. 7,600. I like his price here. My apologies. I've got
Feely,
Charles
you're
Jourdain
talking
going up against
Feely?
Andre Feely.
Yeah.
Yeah, going up against Andre Feely. Sorry, I was looking at the wrong line here. Andre Feely's 8,600, and Charles Jourdain is 7,600. But yeah, I do like this fight in general, but I do like Charles Jourdain here. He's interesting, man. This fight is interesting. This one's gonna have a real high pace to it. And so
Yeah.
regardless, I think regardless, these guys are gonna put up some scores. If you put me in a blender, Feely's the vet, and he's gonna be my guy. Like, he'd be my pick straight up. But for DraftKings purposes, that's where I'm gonna have to start looking at Charles Jourdain a little bit. What you got on this one, man?
Yeah, I completely agree. And I am a big fan of both of these guys. I honestly didn't used to think very much of Andre Feely early in his UFC run, but he's really made big time improvements. And
Yeah, for sure.
he looks really damn good in his last fight with Sadiq. And I actually thought he possibly won that fight. And I'm obviously in the mid 8Ks at 8.6, I believe he is. That's a really solid salary on DraftKings. He's been wrestling more and more. Which is nice to see. He got a few takedowns in his last fight. So I do think he can put up a pretty big score here. I mean, I don't think he's going to go over 100. Probably, I think it's probably going to be somewhere 85 to 90, 80 to 90 if he wins. But he does make a very good play. I think I'm going to have slightly more shares of Agapova and Ivy instead. Just because part of that is because I think Feely will be very chalky. And with Jourdain, if there's going to be one fighter in the
Especially now, he'll
7Ks,
be chalky.
yeah. If there's going to be one fighter in the 7Ks that puts up a massive score from a knockout, it's going to be Jourdain. Like this kid is a beast, and he's only getting better and better. He really improved me in his UFC debut, which is up a weight class against Des Green. He really gave a good account of himself from there. And then in his last fight against Duhu Choi, got off to a rough first round like everybody does against Korean Superboy, and then came back and put it on him and knocked him out in the second round and put up a huge score. And so, like I said, when we're desperate on this card, looking for dogs that have a chance to put up a big score, I mean, Jourdain has to be at the top of that list. So I think this is definitely a fight you're going to want to have to target both sides of in your lineups. And I honestly think I'm going to have a pretty close split. I think I'm probably going to be around like probably four Jourdain, three Feely, or four Feely, three Jourdain. I haven't fully decided yet. But I think it's one of those fights that you can get away with kind of splitting.
Yeah, I like it. So either way, like, you won't be mad. You'll take whatever edge
Exactly.
you can get
Yep.
from it. Yep,
And
smart.
especially on a site like this where we kind of have to get different with it.
Yeah. You almost playing scenarios in this slate, and I kind of hate doing that,
Right.
but this is it's you gotta adapt.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm with you, man, for sure. All right, next up we have Gustavo Lopez. He actually is coming in on a replacement. Man, shit got crazy yesterday.
Oh, God.
Coming back, you got Merab. Let me see if I can get this. Yavuzhvili was close
Close
enough. He's 9,200. Merab's 9,200 on DraftKings, and Gustavo's coming back at 6,800. This one's pretty simple, man. Merab's the play. Play him as much as you can,
Yep.
and that's pretty much it. What
Yep.
do you got on this one?
I completely agree. He's one of the core plays. He was going to be one of the core plays even in his original fight with Ray Borg. And now that Ray Borg pulled out and he's facing a lesser competitor, I like him even more. The guy's just a maniac. Like, he doesn't have very good striking, but his cardio is unbelievable. Like, unbelievable. And then his wrestling is just another. He just nonstop chains together takedown after takedown after takedown. I mean, for him to dominate somebody like Casey Kenney the way he did in his last fight, that really opened up my.
Seriously.
That really is what opened up my eyes to him because I wasn't sold before that fight. But that really.
12 takedowns?
Yeah, that.
Come on. Yeah,
Yeah.
like, come on.
Against an
Come on.
opponent of that high caliber, that really impressed me. So, like, keep it short and quick. All the Merab you can get. He's one of the core plays on the sheet. He's the best play on the slate on both DraftKings and FanDuel, and he's probably my favorite MVP spot for FanDuel.
Boom. There you go. All right, next up we got the rematch, man. We got the rematch. Finally, we got Carl Roberson going up against Marvin Vettori. And we won't get into it, but man, these guys were supposed to fight. He missed weight, and then I think they pulled him. Something happened, and
he
Myers
pulled out
went on a
himself.
rant. Did he just pull himself?
Yeah, and then he missed weight by 6 pounds again yesterday.
I see. Yeah, I saw that. Didn't he only miss by like 5 pounds the last time?
Oh yeah, yeah. Like last time was like 4.5 or 5, and this time I think it was 5.5 or 6.
Idiot. Hey, at least he's willing to fight this time, so we'll take that. So we're not missing out on any more fights. But yeah, this one's interesting, man. I think I got Vettori here.
Yeah.
I think for one, I just don't think like, Carl's head is not in it, man. His
Nope.
head is not in the game. I don't need. He has to literally be coming out here just to get a paycheck, because I can tell you this man does not want to fight. Like, he does not want to fight. So, and I like the price tag. And Marvin, man, like, he put up a pretty good fight against Adesanya, man. I think the matchup against
He
Adesanya
gave
was
Adesanya his toughest test. It was a split decision.
100%.
Yeah.
And I just think that was a tough matchup for Adesanya too. Like,
agreed.
That stylistically, it was just tough, man. But yeah, I like Marvin here. I think honestly, Marvin's gonna try to come out here and get it done, but I'm not gonna put too much hype into that. I'm gonna have some ownership for sure, but I'm gonna probably temper it a little bit. I do think we'll get some mid to decent ownership on him. I can see him being about 20 to 30% owned this thing
Yeah.
on the card. I'll probably try to be on weight with that. Maybe a little bit over, depending on how things go with that 8K range.
Yeah.
But that's where I'm at on this one. What do you got?
Yeah, I completely agree. It's just, like, I know Carl has a good striking and he comes from a kickboxing background. And just, I've never been overly impressed with his total game. He hasn't really beaten anybody that I'm over. Like, he has a win over Wellington Thurman, but I thought he lost that fight pretty clearly, and I was shocked at this decision. He's getting taken down in a lot of his fights. And with Marvin, it's just, I mean, he has really, really underrated grappling. He's dominated multiple very high-level grapplers now in the UFC. Has underrated takedowns, really slick submissions, iron chin, good output on the feet, really hard body kicks. Underrated power in his hands. And I think, I know people say he gasses a lot, but I think that's really overstated. Does he slow down a little bit? Does he slow down
I think
a
it's
little
bit? Just his face.
Yeah. Like, does he slow down a little bit? Sure. Of course he does. But at the same time, he's still fighting his ass off and throwing with lots of output. Like, he doesn't,
exactly.
he never really.
Just don't labor.
Exactly. It's the same thing as Paulo Costa. Like, even though they're tired, they still keep on walking forward. They still keep on throwing punches. And I think Marvin is beyond fired up for this fight. So I think he's really going to take it to him. And I think
– might want that bonus. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. I'm actually going to pick Marvin to win by a mid to late second round submission. Like you said, I don't think Carl really wants to fight. And as soon as he gets put in a bad spot, especially against a savage like Marvin, I think he's going to be looking for that way out. I think Marvin's going to get his neck, and we're going to see a quick tap, and that will be that. I wish Marvin was like 100 or two cheaper. But
yeah.
I'm still probably going to have
load up on him.
I'm still probably going to have about 30-32%.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Me too.
With Robertson, I have him on the sheet, but I said only if you're making over 5 lineups, but honestly, like, I would only roster him if you're making over 10 lineups.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. And I honestly, I think with that range that he's at, I wouldn't be mad at you even if you didn't want to take him there.
Agreed.
Like, I wouldn't be mad at I wouldn't be mad at you if you just didn't want to play this guy.
And because what's his path to victory? Knockout, right?
Period.
So it's not like he's one punching guys. It's more like he's kind of like hurting him in the clinch and pulling up with blows. But like, Marvin is an unbelievable chin. I just can't see that happening.
Yeah. Well, and so we already know he's not going to be in like tip top shape, right? We already
Agreed.
Know he's going to be a little so yeah. He's that power that
yep.
it's not that one punch. It's not going to happen against Marvin. I don't see
nope.
it happening.
Marvin's besides the big three at 185, like you have Izzy, you have Costa, you have Edmund Shabazian, Whitaker still up there. But besides those guys, I honestly think Marvin Vettori is one of the best fighters in this division besides those top four guys.
Yeah, I think he's up there. And honestly, I think he got Izzy, I want to say, a little too early. You know,
agreed.
What I mean? I think
agreed.
Give him a little bit more time, and I think he looks even better. So,
yep.
But both of those guys, they just came up so fast. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
That's why, You know, like they brought Izzy up so fast, they were just throwing him to whoever was willing to fight. Yep. Kind of too. So,
yeah. Yep.
All right. So we have the main event here. We got Cynthia Calvillo going up against Jessica I.
Oh, God.
Man, this one's interesting. Oh, man. Holy shit. For a main event, I mean, it's pretty weird that they would give us this as a main event, but we have it.
Yeah.
Usually this is the spot where it's like, all right, you know, we're loading up here. Fuck, man. The only reason why I would say you're going to have some of this fight is because it's a complete toss up and like, who knows what the hell is going to happen, but man, my gut is telling me it's going to be a low scoring fight, but for five rounds, even low scoring output, if they fight for five rounds, you know what I mean? Like somebody like a Cynthia Calvillo at 7,900, she can probably put up a 80-90, you know what I mean? Just with pace. It's tough, man. I would like to not like have a low ownership on this fight, but I still don't think you can get away with it because I still think at the end of the day, just the way that things work, I think this fight will still move the cash line. I don't think you have to go all in. Definitely don't have to do like that like we do. But I mean, you do want to have a fair share of this fight because I do believe it's going to change the cash line regardless. And I hate to say that, but that's just how things work, man. It's just,
yep.
these are just facts, man. But I do think it's a toss up here. For DraftKings purposes, I'm going to go with Calvillo just because, you know, you got Jessica I missing weight, and she missed weight bad.
And she needed help. Yeah, she needed help being carried to the back. She couldn't even walk off the scale.
Yeah, she literally was like, I'm sorry, guys, I can't stand.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit, and you're about to go out and have a fist fight for five rounds. It's just, it's crazy. And then, like, not just a fist fight. This is like high class, like, athletics here.
Exactly.
It's not just you going out and fighting your neighbor type stuff.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, so I mean, I just like Cynthia here. I like her price here. I'm gonna have more of her than Jessica.
Oh yeah.
I'll probably still have about 50, 60, 70% of this fight, but I'm gonna try to get away with the rest of it not having it. How are you gonna take this one?
Yeah, I like Cynthia a lot here. I actually have her in the GPP core. When the fight first got announced, I honestly thought it might have been a decent matchup for Jessica I. And like, sure, she could still win. It's just, especially with her recent struggles of weight cuts. And the way that Jessica I has been taken down by way inferior opponents. She's been taken down in seven of her eight last fights. I mean, she was taken down by Caitlin and taken down and controlled by Caitlin Faria. And I mean, that is just a horrific look. I know Jessica I looked pretty good in her last fight against Arujo, but Arujo gassed hard in that fight. And it still was actually pretty damn close. But on a slate like this, like I know I've talked about it like four or five times now, but where we need the savings, like where we can save $400 from going from I to Cynthia when Cynthia already has more upside, and I think she's going to win the fight. Like even if Cynthia puts up 80 points in a five-round decision, she's going to be an optimal lineup on this. Yeah, and like, but I honestly think she's going to get Jessica out of there within 3.5 rounds. Calvillo's jiu-jitsu is really, really, really good. It's probably the best in the division, if we're being honest. And then her striking slowly improving. I like that she's recently moved camp from Alpha Male, and she's now training at American Top Team with like DC and Khabib.
I didn't know
that. So I'm really hopeful that will lead to her wrestling more Yeah, so when she gets on top of these girls, she's a major problem. And I don't see that being any different here for Jessica I. So I'm probably going to have about 40% Calvillo. I'll probably have her in 4 of 10, 5 of 10. And then Jessica I might throw her in 1 just as a backup. But it's just like, let's say she goes out there and scores. Like she puts up 75-80 decision. Like I don't know if that's going to be good enough just because there's other fighters right there like Rosa, and all those other guys and the other punts we talked about, like Jourdain. So just the mid-range is tricky this week because I feel like the winning lineup is going to be doing like you're going to be playing two high-priced guys or girls, and then you're probably going to play like three high 7K fighters. So I'm taking a stand. I'm going to be underweight on everybody in that mid to low 8K range personally. So I like Cynthia a lot. I like her a lot on FanDuel as well, especially at that price of 16. And especially since she has finishing upside, And with Jessica I, just because I don't see her finishing this fight at all, I don't have any interest of her on FanDuel.
Yeah. I just want to ask you a hypothetical question real quick. What if I was to tell you that Cynthia Calvillo is going to be like 45% owned?
I'd probably up my exposure to 65.
Right?
Yeah. I'd probably go over the field then.
I think she might be up there.
Yeah.
I think she might be up there towards the 40s for sure. And that's making me want to,
Raise. Yeah, that's a good point. So if she, let's say she's 45%, I'll probably throw her, I mean, minimum of 6 lineups now, 6 of 10. Yeah. Just so I can be, I mean, it might even, make sense to throw her in 7. And here's the other thing with Calvillo. Because I don't see her getting finished, I mean, she's still, like, let's say this goes all 5 rounds and she loses the decision, I could still see her scoring anywhere from 50 to 65 points easily. And so in the 7Ks, because, I mean, there's no guarantee that all these other high 7K fighters wins. So if only one of them wins and Cynthia still puts up 55, 60 in a 5-round decision loss, like, there's a good chance that could put you on the optimal lineup. And worst case scenario, you're still going to cash with her. Like, that's basically a low-scoring win.
Yeah, so, for sure. Yeah. No, I like it. I like it. And I think just based on that little conversation we just had, I'm pretty sure I'm going to up my own.
Same here. Same here. Yep.
So, cool, man. Cool. Well, shoot. There we go. There we have it. Sorry, it went a little bit longer. I think I can't really tell right now.
I had a bunch of technical difficulties on my end.
We got to fire the producer, man. We keep letting this guy back here. No, I'm just playing. But no, always a pleasure, my man.
Back at you, bro.
We'll be back for the next card. And if you guys have any questions, hit us up. Still a lot of time to get it in. I think they extended the card to – it doesn't start to like 7 Eastern, right?
Correct, yep.
I think that's what you were telling me.
Yep.
Yeah, so hit us up if you need us. But that's going to be it, guys.
Cool. Peace. Good luck this week.